We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years and 2 days into 14 days to flatten a curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Ned for the exclusive 4 years and 2 days. First of all, I'll ask how you are. And then what do you think that we're 4 years into 2 weeks?
It's awesome. 4 years, 2 days, 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Still under state of emergency.
Yeah. I'll see you in 14 days. We'll talk about it again.
Wait till the next one comes out. Yeah. Just roll into the next 14 days. Yeah.
Oh, it's just... My biggest problem today is what I was telling you earlier, that there's lots of things come in. Trouble with information is until you know that it's actual factual and you got all your leads come in, you can't talk about a lot of it. Otherwise, you get caught in your own loop of whether I want to call it misinformation or just a mistake or whatever. But so a lot came in late today. So, I'll just have to follow up that on next week, which will make it old news to some degree. But it'll still be relevant because it'll be continuing. But there are a few interesting things that have happened this week and some scary things. The UK is getting worse. We seem to be taking the lead on persecuting our own people now.
I thought the Canadians had you beat. Life in prison, you know, $70,000 fine if you suspect somebody of hate speech.
Oh, yeah.
I had a photo of Trudeau.
Pre-crime.
By the way. Pre-crime. Oh. I had a photo of Trudeau. He was out with some members of the community the other day celebrating. And I thought I would share.
Did he have
this
his
photo.
Entourage with him?
He did, actually. This is them. I think it literally means them. They. Yeah, that's his entourage.
Well, yeah, he belongs amongst them.
He certainly does. These are the kind of people that will be calling the emergency services on you.
That's pretty scary.
Isn't it?
That is pretty. Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, and he deliberately did a photo shot to say what?
I don't know. He was standing in solidarity
Do those people realize that when... he gets his little strings pulled by somebody in several months' time or whatever, if he's still about, these people are going to be suffering from whatever he decides to do then.
Oh, yes.
Because they have just been used and abused. They might be dressed up like clowns and sexual clowns or whatever they want to be dressed up as. And personally, I hope there's no kids there, very young children about there, but really?
Really?
You're that desperate to have your photo taken with that? Well, he's the biggest clown there. It's miserable. But then it's a reflection on the society as it is there. Canada's society is broken, but there's a lot of people shouting there.
There are a lot of people shouting, and they want him out.
And yeah. They want his string puller out as well.
Yeah, I don't think... I'm just throwing this out there because this has been a topic that's been talked about and then suppressed. I don't think he's supposed to be there because the last time around when he was elected, and I think it was even the time before that, he was elected, the opposition party said, hang on a minute here. We're starting to do some audits of these vote counts and we're finding a lot of irregularities here.
Yeah.
And it's all been shut down and suppressed.
In a state of emergency, it was done to push everything.
Yeah.
That was brought in to keep people where they were and where they needed. And, Canada. Yeah, pre-crime. That's got to go. That has to just go. Scotland was passing a law as well. That was due to come into what's name soon to do with something else. I mean, I was chasing that one up, but that hasn't been fully ratified yet. I'll
see if the Irish were doing the online hate thing as well.
Yeah. Why is Ireland actually even bothering? It sounds like it's a reflection of the EU puppetry as well.
Well, they are in the EU.
Yeah, but they're on that side. They should be rethinking everything.
I agree.
They should be rethinking everything. Why did Irish people fight, whether it was against Britain or whatever, for a very large amount of years just to become puppets for somebody else? Because it's just destroying the people. There are some brilliant... I tell you what, I've had so many good times in Ireland. It's unbelievable. It is a lovely place to go. I mean,
yeah. That's we got St. Patrick's. Yeah, we got St. Patrick's Day coming up this weekend too.
Oh, you do. There'll be a few drunk people then.
I think there'll be a few drunk people across the whole of the UK, to be fair. Just a few. Yeah.
No, across they did a large part of the world. It doesn't... usually, no matter where you go, I mean, especially in America, there are so many Irish pubs.
Yes.
Dotted everywhere within Western culture.
Oh, yes.
We
used to go to places called Clada. We used to, there was another place called Murphy McFlips. We used to go to Fado, all those Irish places. You could always get a, you know, Guinness on tap there, you know, Guinness draft, always.
You like Guinness?
I don't drink anymore, but when I did, it's been many years, but yes, that was one of my choices.
It's a bit of a meal, isn't it?
It is bread in a pint glass is what it is.
It's a bit of a meal.
And an authentic Irishman told me exactly that too.
Saying that, I knew a Scottish chap, and he was married to this lady, and his wife was built like a beanpole, and she could drink Guinness like it was going out of fashion.
I could never understand that.
And I went, God, if I have about four pints of that stuff, it's like, ooh, I feel like I've eaten a big meal.
Yeah.
You know?
It does, yeah. Yeah. The Daily Fail, as a matter of fact, since we're on that topic, the Daily Fail did a piece this morning about the cheapest, most expensive, and the best places to get Guinness in the UK on St. Patrick's Day.
That's nice.
It is nice, yeah.
£5.73 a pint.
That is London? Yeah, that is the most expensive.
That looks like in London, doesn't it?
One is in London, yes. That's actually the cheapest. One.
Yeah, but the most expensive one's in London, isn't it?
There is, yes, that one, yes. There's the most expensive, and there's also the cheapest one, one of the cheapest ones there. as well as Birmingham.
That depends whether the north side or south side of the river, you see.
Yes. Well, north side, you're £5.73. South side, you're £3.50. Yeah. So, and the one and the place, the pub that's like the £3 whatever it is, it looks like it's a pretty rough.
Oh, no, don't worry about that. We've got some brilliant looking dives, and there's some.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah. The best people go there.
Yeah. So the cheapest actually is, the best place is actually, there's a place in Plymouth, £3.96 for a pint.
Travel all the way to Plymouth for that?
Well, I suppose so. Unless you want to go to Brighton, you can pay £5.11.
Definitely not. Brighton isn't what it used to be.
Well, you can drive all the way to Bradford and you could get it for £3.97.
Okay. That's another, not really. For me,
Bradford doesn't look like Bradford these days. I've seen it. So does Birmingham's the same.
Everything has become a culture shock. I don't have a problem. I mean, Britain has always been a place where people have been here for generations, and they become part of. You see, no matter who has raided Britain, come to Britain, taken over Britain as much, they've always then sort of been absorbed into it. And fought for Britain against the people where they were from.
Yes.
Yes. So that is just seems to be a natural way of growing here. Yeah. So, yeah, we sort of absorb them into our society and, yeah.
Does that mean you're going to have a pint this weekend or not?
Not for Guinness, no.
No?
No, I'm not having a pint of Guinness, no.
Oh.
No. This weekend?
Well, I'm studying this weekend. That's my plan, so.
Hang on. Sadly, I've got to take a run to Norwich. So yeah, Sunday. We'll go on Sunday. Don't know. I'll have to check up with the boss. See if she's got something for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if it means driving, it's a big no-no, I'm afraid. But it would be nice.
That is true. Yeah.
Right. To sit down and raise a glass.
Well, unfortunately, I would have to raise a glass of, say, like orange juice or water or something like that. So
doesn't matter. It's actually raising a glass.
It's the best I can do. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. So many people be thinking of you as they slide under the table.
Yes, of course. That's okay. I'll be the driver. That's fine. I got no problem with that. Right.
Yeah.
Although exactly. I might be as bad as a drunk driver because I'd be on the wrong side of the road from what I know normally. So.
Yeah, but they won't care.
Yeah, of course but not.
I tell you, if you give your phone number out now, I bet you get a few phone calls saying, "What? You free drink driving? Yeah, right.
Free,
no problem.
We'll pay driver? Yeah, okay.
We'll pay you fuel when you're coming over." Yeah, but no, excellent. No, people should have times to remember. People should have causes to go out and socialise. I have no got a problem with that. Not at all. But yeah, but don't be stupid about it. You can have a great time. Although we've all been stupid at times in our lives when it comes down to having a drink or two, Benny. Anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody, to come, because it'll be over when you see me, hear me next. So yeah. Right. Shall we get into some of this?
Yes, we shall. I do have a few things. I can fill in some gaps or possibly expound upon whatever you bring up. So yeah.
You see, every now and then a country does something that in some respects it upsets somebody. And if it upsets the UN, I'm all for it because I do not like them because they're a bunch of gobshites.
Can we put the WHO in there too?
Well, the UN, the WF, the WHO, they're all part of the same package. One says one thing, it triggers the other. Elections are coming up, yeah? But India have passed a controversial law. It provides fast tracking to Indian citizenship for Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, and members of other minority religions that have arrived in India before 2015 from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. No mention of
Muslims.
The Muslim.
That's
right.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, that does make up about, I want to say, almost a quarter of their total population, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, if people look into history, that is why you have Pakistan.
Yes.
Because basically they were Indian Muslims, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were. So when somebody says Pakistan Indians, sorry, they were Indian Muslims to begin with. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
So know your history, people, before you start throwing names around and whatever. The UN
just,
High Commissioner.
Just to
sorry,
be fair.
Go on.
Just to be fair, I've had both Pakistanis and Indians tell me that neither one of those places have been the same since you guys left. Just saying.
As much as we had some very harsh things or whatever, there was a certain amount of control and a certain creation within so many societies, whether it was in Africa or on the main continent like that, and they regressed afterwards. Yes, it was done under whatever was the political move at the time, whatever the hard boot was, whatever. You see, it wasn't just us, but we just happened to be here, there, and everywhere at the time, yeah? If it wasn't our empire, it would have been somebody else's, and it might have been done differently. Yes, people do die, and people do get harmed and everything. It's historically there, but it's to learn from it, not say, hey, you did this so many years ago, la, 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 because I don't get it. We've had all this slavery thing but the Africans were enslaving their own tribes anyway.
And they still
before are. We even got there, and they still are. So I don't appreciate somebody that has got it is several generations past and is totally westernized and gives it, I want a free ride here and I want money from you because no, pissed off, you're an idiot, you're not entitled to it. So the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has called the law, which extends no such rights to Muslims, as fundamentally discriminatory. That's the choice. There's a history there. If you are a country and you don't want somebody in for whatever reasons, you have the right, just like you have the right to stop somebody coming across the threshold of your house. Or are you going to keep your front door open, Mr. UN Commissioner, to everybody in sundry? Because you probably look down your nose at anybody that earns less than £300,000 and you won't want them coming through your front gate. So, Mr. Hypocritical High Commissioner, no, your country. You make a choice. You make a decision. Your government makes a decision. If you don't like it, you go to your government. But as far as I'm concerned, these are to do with people who've come into India from various other countries and have gone, look, okay, we'll settle your citizenship. That's good. So I'm concerned. They said, yep, we're happy with you. Well, they're going to go ahead. So no, individual countries, individual rights. They want to globalize it. The UN thinks. I mean, I think we're so overdue of speaking about a bit more of nasty history about UN people and the WHO people and who actually are at present making that structure up from Tedros and whoever else is there, because they have got some hideous histories and they're still alive and they're transmitting to the world what should happen. So I think, oh God, they just trigger me. Gonna have to go dig some of that crap up again. Even more tasty stuff out there, probably.
Well, Tedros, that guy, at the very least, that guy should be in prison for life, at the very least, for what he did.
Well, for what he did and those that are associated with him, with it, many of the things that there would have been everything from rape to murder to God knows what else.
Yeah. And he oversaw over a million people in his own country. That's terrible. Yeah,
it is. And yet he's sitting there committing crimes by telling people to do the wrong thing.
Well, that's why he is there.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
They've already got that on him anyway. They'll hang him out to dry with that whenever something goes wrong, and they can put everything else on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, the UN hasn't done anything. I mean, if you take the UN, I mean, every year the UN passes criticism on all manner of countries. Yeah. Just like it can allow. But there are certain countries that it has never passed a condemnation on. Would you like to name one?
Go on.
It's done North Korea, obviously.
Well, yeah.
It regularly throws it at Israel.
Okay.
It's done it on Syria. It's done it on Iran. It's done it on most countries, even obviously Western countries and stuff, because if you've moved into places. But the one place it never had is Palestine.
Interesting.
Never.
Well, you could also make the argument that Palestine's not an actual recognized state.
They must recognize it because they have their people there and they're shouting about it. If you shout for a people, I haven't got a problem with the people. I've got a problem with them letting themselves be represented, whether it's by a terrorist organization or not. But Hamas is the representation of Palestine.
Yes.
Why isn't it condemnation?
Because it doesn't fit the political agenda of where we are right now.
Yeah, there you go. So the UN is bias?
No. Just a little bias, maybe. I'm curious. Do they condemn China for what they do? And
they've just about got every country in the world where they see fit, where they want some political move.
Okay.
But to actually not actually put anything on that is just...
Nothing on Palestine. Well,
I cannot find a condemnation against Palestine.
Interesting.
Because I had to look into it because it was actually brought up in a political point. And I went, nah, I can't believe that. But yeah, it's very interesting. So the UN are up to their own political whatever. I had a look into awesome. You fascinated me the other day because you were talking about, who were you talking on air to about Telegram? Can't remember now.
Could have been Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I find it fascinating because they were in the financial market, they were actually put on the financial market for people wanted to. There were several interested peoples that offered somewhere in the region of £31 billion worth of investment to
Mr. Durov.
Pavel Durov, yeah.
Yeah, he's the founder and owner.
I looked into it. I found it very fascinating because and then I went into the structure things. You know there's 900 million users now.
Yes, and that number, I think, doubled under COVID.
But, I mean, at the moment, it's not, 900 million users, yeah.
It's about to overtake Facebook.
He made a statement that it's nearly profitable.
Yeah, they haven't quite turned a profit yet, so they're still working on it.
Because, I mean, they're actually Dubai-based, aren't they?
Yes.
They're getting income because 2 years ago they introduced advertising and premium services.
Yes, and they're also doing crypto, their own cryptocurrency now, called Toncoins,
He's obviously, although he founded it with his brother, he's got full ownership, I think.
He does.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was wrong. It wasn't 31 billion. It was 30 billion. The number was 30 billion plus in the financial papers. Yeah.
I'm curious. Did they mention who any of the investors were?
No, the potential investors.
Potential investors. Okay. Yeah, Does that mean possibly the Saudi royal family would be one of them?
Well, he actually ruled out selling it. He was asked. He actually ruled out selling it.
Yeah, that's a smart
because,
thing.
Because, I mean, he was from St. Petersburg, wasn't he, in Russia?
Yeah, he was also the founder, one of the founders of the Russian social media company VK, which is like their Facebook, their version of Facebook.
Yeah, VKontakte, or whatever it's called. Yeah. That was in 2007. Yeah, I looked into that. And he left Russia after selling his shares in it because I think he sold them for $300 million because the Kremlin wanted all his data.
Yes, the FSB, which is, well, what is the modern KGB?
Just call them the Kremlin.
Yeah, it's the same thing. They have the office right down the street. They're in the same building as the KGB. They just changed the name on the office door.
That's just like the WF.
The WBACSD. It's right across the street, yeah.
But, yeah, I think they've only got about 50 employees full-time in the, But you do get... And then obviously you've got to look into the positive side of things, like what he says. And I mean, I'm at fault really, because I should have looked into this platform because I agreed to come on it. But I'm glad I did, because it's fine with me. You've got negative researchers and they warn the slightly moderated platform remains a hotbed of criminal activity as well as extremist or terrorist content and misinformation.
Actually, I remember Keir Starmer during COVID saying in Westminster, he stood up there at the podium and said that Telegram was a problem. They were going to have to do something about regulating it in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
The German government basically said the same thing, that they were going to have to do something about it.
I mean, they have suggested that it's linked with Russia. Well, he is Russian.
He is Russian. But they also said, was it the German government? I think it was the German government. They also said they're going to have to go after Telegram and Threema. But there's a problem. Once they started to say that they were going to go after Threema, they found that that was going to be a problem for them because that's what they used.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I mean, the critics, obviously, then you get it. And I want you obviously see what his response is. I mean, he dismissed it, but he did actually say something. He said that there are plans to improve moderation, to deploy an AI-related mechanisms to address potential issues. But unless people cross the red line, he doesn't think that policing people in a way that stops them expressing themselves. He believes any idea should be challenged, otherwise we can quickly degrade into authoritarianism. Well done, sir. I totally agree. I will stay here and quite happily and readily use Telegram. I haven't got a problem with it, but it was nice to actually look into it and see where it was now and still is, which is a positive.
Yeah. At the moment, I don't have any issues with it, but I don't expect it to be something that is... You know, forever. I expect them. Something's going to change at some point.
Well, unless we actually do get back to free expression on a large scale in the world, which it has to be, which you have to have opposing opinions. Otherwise, how can you tell when you're not right? How can you tell when you're wrong? You can't. You've got to have opposing opinions, even if it's somebody just shouting at you, saying whatever they believe. But if you get an opposing opinion and you're prepared to listen to an opposing opinion, which people should do, then you can possibly learn. I mean, it's great to actually learn that, wow, yeah, I've got that wrong. So you say this, whatever, that's an interesting point of view. And that's how things form. That's how you go forward, yeah? Because being 100% right all the time just doesn't happen. You can be 90-odd%, but there are quirky points, there are things, there are issues that we can miss because we, in many instances, we aren't or weren't present at certain times to actually know. But if you've got a certain acumen and you've got your common sense lined up with your intelligence and you're willing to research, you can actually discover what is the truth. And you just got to keep digging. And you just got to keep listening to these idiots. Saying idiots, old Andrew Bridgeton was told by the COVID inquiry people that, what was it? If there has anything criminally been done, you should go to the police.
We're going to be queuing up like they were for those jacket potatoes, if that's the case, aren't we?
So he did.
He went to the police then.
Yeah. He wrote a letter to Sir Mark Rowley, Commissioner of the Met, to discuss certain issues regarding COVID-19 pandemic and vaccine program. Offences in the letter have referred to misconduct of public office, malfeasance in public office, manslaughter, gross negligent manslaughter, gross corporate manslaughter, fraud, murder, grievous bodily harm, And he did write in the letter that a room will be required to facilitate at least 20 other people that will bring evidence. Yeah. So so he wrote to the police, and I thought, I wonder if anybody else has been writing to the Met police, right? So this is the Metropolitan Police, yeah? The trouble is, what I couldn't find was, although he's written a letter, I was waiting to see if, because usually if you make a complaint or whatever, you get like a criminal code, a number. I mean, a lot of people say nothing will come of this.
Yeah, sure. It'll just be like a reference number for the case, yeah.
Yeah, but the point is, if you don't keep doing this, you haven't got a chance of something happening, yeah? So you've got to go with it or whatever. So, because otherwise, if you just roll over and give it, well, why is he bothering? But does that mean you don't care that somebody has died somewhere in the world due to somebody else and is not being held account? You wouldn't like it happening to you. But there is, you know, Mike Yeadon.
Yes, former vice president of Pfizer, their chief scientific officer and head of, I think it was bioethics, or was it bioethics? I don't know. But he was former VP of their company. Yeah, I can't remember specifically.
He was, yeah, definitely. Now, there's a certain ex-policeman called Mark Sexton, and he actually went to the police and handed over a load of papers on Friday the 8th of March. Allegations against Graham Grady, MP. Dame June Rain, remember me talking about her, the MHRA lady?
I do, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Pfizer and the UK government. 4, misconduct in public office, malfeasance in public office, gross negligence, manslaughter, corporate manslaughter, and fraud by false representation. Now, Mike Yeadon wrote a letter, a backup letter for him as well. But he actually come out with a number, the crime number. So basically, he got issued one in, because he did this before, he got issued one when he had lawyers. Now, there's Philip Hyland, there's Lewis Bayliss, and Dr. Sam White, together with these lawyers they are. And they did, in December 21, I think, they raised a crime number as well, got a crime number raised against Dame June Rain again, and the GM chief as well. They got a crime number for that and nothing has happened. Now they've reissued stuff and evidence has been submitted, 400 victims, witnesses, information on all those. They've added details of from at least 40 world experts to back them up. And they handed it into a police station, and it was Acton Police Station, if anybody wants to know. And they got a crime number. 01/62447/24, as in the year 2024. If anybody wants to check it out, so if you want to go follow that up, see how it's doing, ask about it. he did broadcast a phone call that he got back from the Acton police, which I found they got a police constable to ring him back to ask him about some of the things he questioned. And he said, well, you have read the document, have you not? And apparently he hadn't really read it all. So they're forestalling or doing whatever else they're doing, as they do. But boys in blue, you have sworn an oath to protect the people. And you are the people's last line of defense against people in office. So they should actually do what they should. But we'll see. We'll see. Which, I mean, you live in hope, don't you? But there are people pushing and doing stuff and... I don't know. We'll see if the naysayers win, shall we? There is something really, really naughty going on in Britain. There is in the UK. Oh, yeah. I'll get to that. Water usage. Remember when we talked about energy and the price of fuel and this? Yep. And I went, they'll eventually get around to water, and you know they're really putting the thumbscrews on.
Yes, they are. They are doing that, and I think that Marty's touched on this several times about French water companies, conservation. There was something something that was mentioned a few weeks ago, something about a hose pipe ban or something like that.
Oh, this is
that's
this
gone
is
all the way back to like the '70s.
This is much better than that.
Okay, what are they doing?
Marty's going to go mental when he hears this.
Okay, all right. Well, let's send him mental because he's going to be listening.
Plans to radically cut household water usage in England. This is from the government. Apparently, yeah. ministers have set legally binding targets to cut household water consumption per head by 20% by 2038.
What? This okay. is 20. Who comes up with these dates? 2030. Why not 2035? Oh, yeah. Why not 2032?
Yeah, but later on, you eventually get to the 2050.
Yes, of course.
In an effort, yeah, because maybe they got sick and tired of hearing people saying, "Oh, it's got to be 2030," so they just picked another number.
Yeah.
In an effort to reduce shortages, right, which are holding up, this is the fun thing, holding up business and housing development. So the people have to use less water so the businesses can use it and they can actually do building development. Hang on.
Businesses are, like you talked about last week, the businesses are going to be regulated out of business. So,
so this is good. So basically, hang on, aren't people meant to come first? Huh? Excuse me. So, no, that's brilliant. So, basically, infrastructure failing, right? But the thing is, right, why? They talk about meters, but then they go on to do something else. We are surrounded by water. We're on an island. We should have infrastructure in there, desalination, whatever. There's an endless... Most of the earth is covered in water. You start restricting families on it and force them down, you start getting a sanitary problem. And we know, talking about, makes me wonder whether they want a sanitary problem so they can go, got a vaccine for that, you know, because that's how they pushed the vaccines before. And yeah. when yeah. sanitation got in and cleaned up everything, there was no need. People yeah. got healthy again.
Running water and sanitation, you know, it yeah. knocks disease out go. Like that. Yeah.
Yes, it does. So basically, we've got government ideas, and you're going to love this one.
I can only imagine.
A new water trading market. Allow householders to offset their water usage through the purchase and sale of water credits to ensure they have neutral impact. What does that sound like?
That sounds like the carbon trading scheme is what that sounds like. It's the same exact thing. They've just applied it to water.
Yeah, but this has been talked about in government and being pushed through because it's been tried out somewhere. So they're trying out that traffic thing in Oxford, but this is being tried out in Cambridge.
Wow.
So basically, the Environment Agency watchdog has already blocked the construction of more than 9,000 houses and 30,000 square feet of lab space. This is in Cambridge, yeah? Because of lack of sustainable water supply. So you're going to have to do this. Otherwise, the labs and everything else, you can't have them built and the housing won't get built. So hang on. If it's water and it's the right of every human being to have water, and if you're going to start restricting it, shouldn't this been put down to a people's referendum since it's our tax money that should be redirected into creating places, not like the water companies are giving it, oh, we want more reservoirs, because you've got to have water in to take water out from storage. Why aren't we producing fresh water from all this seawater?
Well, not only that, I mean, you can do the desalination plants like you're talking about. I mean, that's a great way to
osmosis.
Do things. You can do reverse osmosis, yeah. And you can also do rain catchment because, I correct me if I'm wrong, the UK, you get a lot of rain.
Jib survived on rain catchment, remember?
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
That had a Levant that used to come over the top of the rock.
Yeah. Yep. And they've added desalination plants as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? Because they've got a lot of water around them.
They have a lot of water.
Yeah. So we've got the science, but it's all about corporate money.
Mm-hmm. California. Let's throw California in there because they've done some of the stuff that you're talking about. They have water restriction usage and things in California. 30 years ago, actually, it's going on 40 years now. So I'll just say 35, 40 years ago, California was given a proposal to the state legislature to put, I want to say it was between 30 and 50 desalination plants all up and down the coast. You know, this is 35, 40 years ago. So the reason was, is that they could foresee a water problem in the future. And so they wanted to put these in so there would not be that problem and they would still have an adequate supply of fresh water. And the state that was managed and run by the Democrat Party, which still is, I'm not playing party politics, they all voted no, overwhelmingly against it, because they said that it would, what? How did they put it? It would tarnish their view of the sea.
Really?
Yes. So they decided against it. And now what do they have? They have a water problem. Basically, it was being proposed by private companies. That was the problem.
Basically, they got lobbied and they had to come up with an excuse.
Well, yeah, because they the proposal was being done. All the bidding and everything was going to be done on private companies, and the state would have absolutely no part in any of that. So they couldn't steal the money from it, was the problem.
Yeah.
And so it was just, the whole thing was just buried.
Do you know the funny thing about this is, I don't know how I missed it, but I do, because I didn't listen to all the budget in Parliament. How many people do nowadays?
Was this part of Jeremy Hunt's thing, proposal, budget?
£9 million credit trading scheme, which was announced in the budget, requires the founding of a market framework and operator to match buyers and sellers of water credit. Now, if this is going to create a water market, this is going to be in trading across countries by any chance?
You know it is.
This has got to be squashed, people. This has got to be up, because the people that are trying to manipulate everything are the people that trade at high level, and you're just giving them another market to take over. And your rights to water are your taking your rights to live away. This is a human rights thing. Water shouldn't just be taken away when that is the science and everything. Our tax money pays for the whole structure of the country, right? Whoever works pays for it, yeah? The higher you get, they get tax exemptions and they pay less because they say didn't make any profit. And then they get bonuses via their own companies and everything else. There are ways for them to do it. It's not that simple for us. We work, we pay, we run, we pay for the whole structure. So water, the minimum, should be the allowance we're surrounded by it. So I don't care how you do it, but people, you've got to get up on this one. It slipped through me and I've just seen it and I've gone, this is bad stuff. They're going to be putting all these meters into places that haven't got it. And that information will be passed on to the Environment Agency and whatever new operator, that means a new office our tax money will be paying for, a new financial market our taxpayers' money will be paying for, when all that money that's paying for all of that should be put into plants that could create water so we can live. It's common sense. No more desk jockeys, please. Can we just have the right to live properly? And they come out with, this is all about reaching conservation targets. Here's a couple of quotes. This will be followed by a stricter controls to attain water neutrality,
replace carbon with water, yes.
North Sussex already, yeah, all the planning applications must show they do not increase water consumption. So if you wanted an extension on your house or whatever, you must prove that you're not going to consume any more water, otherwise you're not having it. Water consumption, don't take the piss. It's just ridiculous. And if they go for reservoirs and that is just stupid money. That is just stupid money, because you have to, with everything like a reservoir or a catchment, you have catchments that have water in them that has been there for thousands, sometimes millions of years. And if you don't actually, some of them, if they were millions of years ago and you discover them, they're not getting rain catchment, groundwater going into, or anything. Therefore, you'll eventually use them up. Reservoirs will have only so much you've got. You can't take out more than what you get in. But if you're surrounded by water, excuse me, what's the common sense rule here?
I'm just curious. If they pass this, if they create
this monstrosity. It's already on the move.
I know. Yeah. But if they create this monstrosity that you're talking about, can you imagine the person that's going to be involved in this on the U.S. side of things with all those freshwater aquifers? You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. It makes you wonder who's been pushing something behind the door.
Uh-huh. And you know who else? You know who the second largest farmland owner in the U.S. is besides Gates?
After him, I don't know.
The Chinese Communist Party.
Well, just kick him out and send Gates with him.
Yeah, I agree.
He's part of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree, but there is that, which means they have access to the freshwater aquifers that are under that land as well.
Yeah. Well, sorry. No. People, get rid of them, because basically this is a fraudulent move waiting to happen. If you get a water market, yeah, just have the common sense to say, well, why were they buying this all? That means they had knowledge of this how long ago? And they're making a move. This isn't like finance acumen, if you want to say he's a clever bastard. No, he's an evil bastard. It's as simple as that. Because They, because it's money lobbying in moves, and the only thing happens here is people get harmed. Water is your right. And there's so much of it in the world. There's an abundance of it. And even the climate hacks will be saying, well, there's going to be more free-flowing water soon. So, hey-ho, all that fresh water. That should help the desalination plants cope, shouldn't it, if all the ice is melting? But, yeah, it just it's one evil joke after another, isn't it, really?
It certainly
talking of China, I was looking into...
Hold on a second. Is that a physical newspaper that you have in your hand?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of those in a while. How is it? How's it feel?
I get this free.
Oh, do you?
Every now and then, yeah.
Oh, I see. What publication is that?
Financial Times.
You get the Financial Times. Okay, so you're probably the only reader within 100 square miles of where you are.
Yeah, because you got to cross-reference what people are saying in the market.
Yeah, of course you do. But you get that for free. Those things, a copy of that is, I think here it's like €9 for a copy of that every day.
No, I get it free.
You get it for free. Oh, you lucky dog. I'd take a copy if it was free. Yeah, sure.
I'll send them to you, my ones.
No, it's fine. You can keep them. The last time I got a copy, I was, let me see, where was I going? I was going on a train to Amsterdam, and I had a copy. I was in the first class lounge, and they were giving out copies of the Financial Times. Yeah, I'll take one with a slice of cake
But it's interesting because you learn things that they want to boast about within the financial world.
Yes.
Because it's a boasting platform for a lot of them, and it's telling you what they're doing.
Yes.
It's like I could get you a quote out of one of these. I actually highlighted. But Pin Duo Duo, it's e-commerce group. It's been accused of abusing laws because basically there's a chap. This is what's happening to some of them, yeah? Because
what e-commerce group doesn't abuse laws?
Yeah, but these Chinese, I mean, it's not a matter of abusing the laws. You know, like a lot of people go into a job and they sign a non-disclaimer or whatever, or if you leave us, you're not allowed to go here or whatever. But you've got to get a job to survive, agreed?
Yes, yes.
Yes, well, after graduating, there was a Shanghai, from Shanghai University, a self-described introvert Yeo, joined the grocery operations of the city's fastest rising tech giant, Pinduoduo. A year later, he found himself losing his hair. Yeah. One sign of stress, blah, and it seems to be happening to a lot of people there because they're put under job pressure and stuff like that. So he decided to find work elsewhere. Yeah. Soon after leaving, he got put under surveillance by the company he just left. Right. Subsequent labor arbitration case means he now owes, right, the Chinese tech giant around double amount he earned during the year he worked there. Uh-huh. He's buggered.
Yeah,
he's
of course. Done. Yeah, he's finished.
Yeah, and this is just one case. This is going on for everything. So basically, if you leave us, right, we've given you a job, we're going to work you to death. If you leave us, they're finishing. And it's just, it's incredible how they're getting away with it. There's so much going on there at the moment. And they're looking into so many employee cases in a lot of these giants because a lot of these giant companies coming out of China obviously are trying to compete or outcompete the Amazons and everything else, you know what I mean? And they're all working under the same spec. And the people are, I don't think, people don't care. I know we don't live in China, yeah? But these are still people, yeah? These are people that are working in a market that is buggering your country, our countries up. It's messing our countries up. So you should care, not in a case of, well, they deserve it then. No, it's in such a state where they're undercutting and just, you've got to see the dark mirror side of this. This is what life could become for you if you allow the social structure to go where it's going. That's the simplicity of it all. Look at it. Be aware.
Not only would you be subjected to the social structure of like the social credit system in China, but you're going to have your water taken away from you too. That's going to be part of the social credit system as well.
Yeah, right. Now, put it basically, this is like a carte blanche thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Every person is entitled to only so many liters per day or whatever, yeah? What happens, right, if you've got elderly people that need to be washed, scrubbed? What happens if something happens? Oh, hang on, you've had your wash today. I know you've shit yourself in your bed. We can't do you again. Why? The meter says you've had too much. So you're going to lay in it till tomorrow, darling. But we'll be back, okay? Have a good night. Arseholes, this is about caring. This is about sanitary. This is about a thousand different things. This is, if this comes into play, people, and you've got to get on this case and squash it, there'll be an avalanche of nasty things coming out of this. And it'll head to breaking your NHS, your medication, your social system. It will just run. Water is the basic of human life. I mean, so hang on. If you want to reduce carbon and we're carbon life forms, we can get rid of you that way. Hang on. Restriction on water. How much of you is water?
Over 70%.
Well, we can get rid of you that way, can't we?
Yeah.
We'll have your water. Yeah. Okay, oh, hang on. Hang on. My wife just died. Can I have some water credits for her before you put her in the ground? Yeah, really.
We talked a few years ago. Marty's actually one of the original people that brought this up. The Nestle CEO at the time, Peter Brabeck, yeah. I believe his name was, said,
says it's not a right.
it's not a human right, but only he had to reverse it. He had to reverse his because it was so controversial. He had to reverse his statement, and it ended up being that the restrictions that Nestle, the Nestle Corp, wanted to put on water restriction was 5 gallons a day per person. That was it. That was for drinking, sanitary purposes, washing, cleaning, doing washing clothes.
Five gallons a day per person.
Yeah,
that's 4.5 liters times. Hang on,
that's 25.
That's 4.5 liters.
25.
That's
liters.
Disgusting.
Yeah,
yeah. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot be sanitary with that amount
and have consumption. Consumption. They figured that you would have 2 gallons to consume and then 3 gallons to do everything else you needed.
Oh,
was the math that they did.
So you, just like you see in one of those movies, like you have a bowl and somebody washes their face and it snots in it, and then you pass it around the table.
Yep. Yeah, it's just a wash
and everybody
from like
uses
100 years ago. Yeah.
Somebody uses the same bowl. No, thank you very much. I tell you what, these and funny enough, I do not think there'll be many restrictions on. Now, you know where this is going, don't you?
Yeah, we're going for a two-tier society. Yeah.
No gardens.
That is one of the things that he brought up. He said, "No, when you water your that does include watering your garden. That shouldn't be allowed. That's not a right. You don't have a right to do that."
Yeah. No. So it's going to make sure people don't have gardens. Therefore, they might as well live in a flat, a 200 square foot base, 15-minute cities. It's all another social control. People, it's got to get squashed. Get that pen to paper, get on the phone, get on your computer, just get this thrown out. Get hold of your MP and throttle him for his water, because it's just ridiculous. It's harmful. If this gets pushed through, it's going to be, it's so wrong. Government saying it's harmful to business and house construction. It's harmful to people. You're stewards. You're supposed to be looking after the people. Now, people, tell them you don't want them. Get rid of them. They are looking after each other in that parliament, whether it's the left, the right, the middle, whatever. It's got to be stopped. In fact, it's criminal. It is criminal. And if our police only had the backbone enough to actually get up there and say something, or do something. You don't have to wait. If you're in the police force and you know something's wrong and you know something's criminal, there's nothing stopping you from actually raising the point yourself. And if you know it's criminal and you don't, that means you're complicit in your own right. So what does that make you? Doesn't swearing an oath mean anything nowadays?
I wish it did.
That's a man's word, or a lady's word, or a woman's word, or whatever, them, they, whatever. It is your word. That is all you have as a person. Don't you get it? Everything begins with trust. When trust goes out the window, you lose part of yourself. You lose meaning. You lose respect. You lose respect with yourself. It's just, don't get it. Do not get it whatsoever. I do not understand it. But there you go with that. I'm not going to get any more down that line. Ready enough for that one. I mean, you look at our political system, yeah? I was talking to Martin earlier on, because I went, that Lee Anderson's changing ships again.
I did see that, yeah.
In 6 years, he's in his third party now. So he went from the Labour Party and he went over to the Conservative Party, and Sunak made him, was it chief of the party? I can't remember what he called him. Was he, what was it? So he's He was former Conservative deputy chair. That's it. I made a note of it there. And now he's defected to the Reform Party. And do you know why he went?
I don't know why he went, but I did see earlier this week that he went to the Reform Party. As a matter of fact, this was the banner that was put up by his Twitter account.
He refused to resign. The reason he refused to resign was if you resign as an MP, then a local election has to be held, right? And he's the MP for Ashfield. Now, he's not a great person, but this shows how our political system is broken. From Labour to Conservative, now to Reform, yeah?
Just to stay in office.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, he was stripped of the Tory whip last month after refusing to apologise for saying, which I really loved it, because I wondered how long it'd last, London's Labour Mayor Sadiq Khan was in a grip of Islamist.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I get it. You're not wrong. You're right that you didn't back down. You're right that you didn't resign and give him the whatever. And you're right to get out and go somewhere because you need to exist. But have a backbone to actually support the country and not just yourself, not just another crazy move until somebody doesn't agree with you. Because as much as anything else, I've seen this move, sort of move with someone like Nigel Farage. He moved the people, he got them motoring. And then as soon as he never expected to really win, but as soon as he got into a position of strength and he was asked by his people, the biggest thing, are you going to lead us? He backed out at a time when he shouldn't have. He showed his backbone, spineless bastard. He went for the political move and it was good for him at the time. And he's got to a point where he's a known face and he's got on media and he can say things or whatever and he does his adverts. But the guy, as far as I'm concerned, when he needed to show strength, he didn't. When he needed to show conviction in what he was all about, he didn't. And that was totally political. Whether he was right to create the move in the first place, but there you go. You come to a certain point where you've got to prove what you're made of. And it's the sort of people we need. And if the politicians keep just doing, we need people to stand up. We need people in Parliament to stand up for the people, not corporate puppets. It's just, so he's gone that way. Hey ho. Nothing works, Britain is broken, and we all know who broke it. Now, that to me was a silly statement to make. We know who broke it. Therefore, he's saying nothing, the head of the Reform Party, because why didn't he put a name with the who or the who's or how many there are? This is what I don't like, political statements that just don't lead anywhere. But we'll wait and see, truth comes out or not, and see anything happens. At the moment, I don't expect much from our political parties at all. They're so intertwined with each other, it's unbelievable. Something interesting happened on a science level at Great Ormond Street. Do you know what Great Ormond Street is?
I do not. Clue me in, please.
Great Ormond Street. Yeah, have you ever heard of Pudsey Bear?
No.
It's a charity. People go around dressed up as a bear and it's got an eye patch. It's a children's hospital. It used to be called the Variety Club of Great Britain when I was growing up. And okay. It's just for children. Children from all over the world come here. You know, people don't like it about, I mean, two or three weeks a year, I used to go and work there. Yeah. And I tell you what, I couldn't work there more than 2 or 3 weeks in a year because seeing nothing but children sick, children shouldn't be sick. Don't get me wrong. They should not be sick. It's heartbreaking. Some of the things you see, but yeah, they come from all over and you know, the worst of the worst. And they've done a lot in time and there's an ongoing charity for them and always has been, you know, fine. I haven't got a problem with that. At least it's going kids or whatever. There's probably a lot of money going down the wrong spout as well. You know what I mean? There has been walls that have been built up and things like that. But it's a very strange thing that they're going through because they've managed to extract stem cells from the amniotic fluid from around the fetus during pregnancy. Now, we know those laws to stop tampering with a fetus, but they've had this ongoing thing and now they've managed to, and this is I don't know where this science is going or whether it's going to backfeed into something, but we're talking those sort of stem cells you get out of the amniotic fluid. These are things that will or could, these things that make things like your kidneys, your livers, tiny brains, anything like that. And they've started at such a level now. And that is, I haven't got a clue where this science is going. they say basically that if you can take it out of the fluid and you can, because you can grow them quite quickly, you know, before even the child's born, you can see abnormalities, possible abnormalities, and that's the way they approach it. But it is a very, it's a massive leap in science, and I really don't know where this is going, you know, or could go. Yeah. But once again, the future is, there's another unknown, another part of science. Science seems to be taking these leaps ahead in all manner of directions at the moment. And you see, this is the big worrying factor is this globalist idea is will always go down the wrong path unless you have independent governments which look after their own country and are talking from their own platform and their own identity. Will that work? Because if they're all talking on the same, over a period of years, it'll whittle down until you will have fewer and fewer and fewer people in charge, and you'll have more enforced social laws until you will get total totalitarianism. It's going to be, and then you could get one person at the top of the pile, and it will not be a nice world, because you will just have a them and us. And growing up, I mean, in the science fiction era and everything, you had people who used to write about possible futures, and it always starts with, it's for your own good. And the scam salesman pitch from politicians, and they don't realize that over the decades, if this sort of social structure comes in, the need for politicians in all the different countries will reduce, and they will be got rid of until there is just a controlling group. And if they can't see that that's the road they're structuring for themselves, it's just scary, isn't it?
Indeed it is. We are out of time.
Are we?
Final words?
Oh, I've always got a word somewhere. What was I scribbling? I always scribble something down before I kick off.
I don't know. I saw a handful of notes when you came in earlier.
You weren't there for 5 minutes, and I scribbled something down. I can't remember what it was there. Oh, man. Because I was having a look at something. I don't know. What did I put down? It's terrible, isn't it? I'm always going down the same route. What did I put down? Here you go. I've got a word for you. You gave me 5 minutes, so I scribbled. I said, nature must have its own constraints, right? Because of the slow time change in genetic outcome, which makes sense. Even over such a long time, the diversity of life is amazing. The application of chaos, which means change, but due to the time scale, you gain stability and diversity. This is such a complicated mechanism, which is driven by adaption. Adaption required to overcome variables, but always coming back to balance. This is what the biosphere has changed, because there are so many variables which we don't understand, especially these climate hacks. I didn't write that, but it just came out. So it's attaining what is required, which is basically what our little eco people or environmentalists would call a dynamic equilibrium. The science of today is all about synthesizing, using and adapting ideas of nature to an idea. What is already in existence in some form or other, but they just want to remake it themselves. The natural progression of species has to be allowed, otherwise there's only one direction, an amalgamation of human and machine, designed by humans, which is basically a homemade cul-de-sac, really, because it lessens your choices. Nature gives you an infinite variable, and that's what's got to be allowed to achieve what we could become. There you go. You gave me 5 minutes, you see, so I scrolled
in. I know. Yeah, I did see you come in, and I was working on something, finishing something up before I jumped in. See you next week, yes?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to preach.
No.
That was my thought.
Yeah, it is your day to preach, so it is what it is. And I'd be honest with you, I cut you off early last week, so, you know, I had to give you the extra time tonight.
Oh, I'm thankful. I don't know whether the listeners would be thankful.
We shall see. For those of you who are interested in supporting the work that we do, we would appreciate it if you would consider possibly becoming one of our paid subscribers. The link will be in the program description down below, where you can come on board with us and you can get some extra content. You can hear Ned and Marty in the uncensored part of our prep sessions where we talk about things. Actually, those are a whole other podcast in and of themselves, aren't they?
Sometimes they are, yeah. Sometimes they can be good fun.
Yeah, they are quite fun. So, especially when you have guest appearances from time to time from some of the others that jump in. That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. The link will be in the program description down below. Thank you very much. All right, that'll do it for us for today. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I will see you next week. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.
Good night, all.